Greetings in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is an honor that I do not take lightly for me to be able to share the word with you tonight. Our word is going to come from the book of Genesis. The first scriptures are going to come from Genesis chapter 7, and from that chapter, we are going to read verses 33 to 35. Our second set of scriptures will come from the book of Genesis 41, and in that chapter, we are going to read verses 25, then 29 through 32. The title of my message is Stop Mourning, Take Action. One day, as I was having my morning devotions, I had the privilege to read Genesis 37. And as I was reading it, when I got to chapter 33 to 35, I almost cried. My heart was torn. As I read it, I felt the pain, the intense pain of a father mourning their dear child. As Jacob was mourning Joseph, he tore his clothes. He put on the burlap. The burlap was a type of dressing that people would put on during the seasons that they were mourning a loved one. The Bible says he mourned deeply for his son for a long time. And for those who do not know for how long he mourned his son, he mourned him for 22 good years. For 2 decades, he mourned his son. His family tried to comfort him. And I can actually see them in my eyes. I can actually see a picture of them coming to him, probably trying to give him food, offering him his favorite dish, probably trying to convince him to take off the clothes of mourning so that he could now move on and stop mourning his child. But he refused to be comforted. And he would say, I will go to my grave for my son. He would tell them that he was going to go to the grave mourning his son. So until he died, he absolutely had no plan to stop mourning. That's just how hurt he was. And after talking to his family, he would then weep again. If you have ever lost a child, you can relate with Jacob's pain. And for those who have not, just try to put yourself in his shoe and feel his pain. Jacob had married the love of his life, Rachel. And for 14 good years, Rachel was barren. And when it finally happened and God blessed him with his son, Jacob was happy. He was probably the happiest man. And he loved that boy with everything in him. He is that one child that you could make a court for. For those who are parents, those who are on this prayer line, they can relate. There's just that one child who means more to you than your other children. But his years with him were short-lived. 17 years after parenting him, one day his brothers came back from herding the sheep, and they came with his coat dipped in the blood of a goat. When he saw it right away, he claimed that his son was dead. And he thought his son had been torn to pieces by a wild animal. So for 22 years, he was mopping. As I was reading this scripture, something just did not just sit down well with me. I started questioning God. God, where were you for those 22 years? When you saw him crying and mourning for his child, when you knew pretty well that this child is alive, Why would you be quiet? Why would you turn back away from him? Could you not have sent a prophet to talk to him? Could you not have given him a vision to reveal to him that his son was alive and that one day you would see him? A part of me blamed God. It's like, God, if you say you are merciful and kind and as good as you are, then why would you let your son suffer to such an extent? I have never doubted that God loved Jacob. There are so many times that he got favor that he was not even worthy to receive. There are so many times that his sons got favor only because they were Jacob's sons. But in this one, I just could not figure out why God allowed Jacob to go through this pain. But the God whom we serve is a wonderful God. He is merciful, he is kind, and he is loving. So through his abundant mercy, the mercy that flows in him and the grace and the love that is a part of him, he directed me to the book of Genesis 41. In this story, we are going to see Pharaoh. Pharaoh has had two dreams. And after he had had those dreams, he is pondering on them. He is trying to find the meaning. And then his cupbearer remembers Joseph. And they ask him to come and interpret the dreams for him. And Joseph does that. So we will read from Genesis 25. This is now Joseph interpreting the dreams to Pharaoh. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, "The dreams of Pharaoh are one and the same. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. 7 years of great abundance are coming throughout the land of Egypt, but 7 years of famine will follow them. Then all the abundance in Egypt will be forgotten, and the famine will ravage the land." Now listen carefully to the next scripture. The reason the dream was given to Pharaoh in two forms is that the matter has been firmly decided by God, and God will do it soon. God spoke to Pharaoh two times in two forms because the matter had been firmly decided and he was going to do it. God was going to bring the 7 years of famine and the 7 years of drought, whether Pharaoh had taken action or not. God had firmly decided that these years were going to come. What I love about Pharaoh is the fact that even though he was not a Christian, he acknowledged that the God of Jacob and Esau and Isaac, the God of Jacob, is God who speaks and cares and warns everyone in this world. He doesn't do it to Christians alone. He does it to the heathens. God warns everyone. And he warned Pharaoh because he loves us all. So after Joseph had interpreted the dream, Pharaoh took action. And during the 7 years of plenty, they were preparing. After those 7 years, when the famine came and ravaged the land, they were more than prepared. And through his obedience and through the action that he took, many lives were served. And God was showing me that he did the very same thing to Jacob. The only difference is that when God used Joseph in the life of Pharaoh, Pharaoh acknowledged the gift that God had planted in Joseph, the dreamer and the dream interpreter, and he took action.
He believed that word. When God had spoken to Pharaoh in a dream, he did not find rest until he found an interpretation to that dream. He did not just think about it. He took action until a solution had been found. When God used the same Joseph, let's see what happened. And this is going to be Genesis 37. Let's look at verse 25. Not even. Okay, Genesis 37, verse 5. Yes, this is Genesis 37, verse 5. Genesis 37, verse 5. Okay. So, Genesis 37, verse 10 tells us that when Joseph told his brother about the two dreams, remember, we said God speaks twice to confirm that he has made a decision and he's going to do whatever he's communicating about in the dream. When Joseph communicated to the father about the second dream, and the father was aware of the first dream, his father rebuked him and said, "What is this dream you had? Will your mother and I, your brothers, actually come and bow down to the ground before you?" He did not acknowledge that this was the voice of God. He did not acknowledge that this was God speaking two times in their lives, speaking two times to this family, to let them know that he had made a decision and he was going to do it. That the matter had, that God had, he was saying that he had firmly decided and he was going to do it. He did not acknowledge it. So because Jacob and his family failed to realize the voice of God, for 22 years, they mourned. They mourned a person who was alive. When his sons came to him with his robe dipped in the blood of a goat, he could have told them right away that "I do not understand the tricks that you are playing, or I do not understand what could have happened, but one thing I know for sure is that my God spoke not once or twice that one day we will bow down before him." He could have spent 22 years praising God, trusting in him and believing that the day will come when he will see his son in full flesh. And the same applies to us today. There are so many times that the Lord is speaking to us and we do not acknowledge his voice. There are times when he speaks to us once. There are times when he speaks to us twice and we do not take action. There are so many areas in our lives that we are mourning. We are mourning over situations that are not dead. And when we do, we blame him. And when we do, we continuously go to him asking for comfort, asking for strength, asking for him to be with us, asking him so many questions. Why have you deserted us? And yet, he warned us. He spoke to us many times. One of the pastors who taught me about being cautious and being alert in my spirit walk told me that every Christian needs to have a notebook. a notebook that you keep close to your bed. When he speaks to you during the night and you have that first dream, wake up and write it in your notebook. When you go back to sleep, that way you will never forget any tiny detail. You will remember every little detail from that dream. When he speaks to you for the second time, record it again. Go over those dreams, read them over and over again. When he speaks to him, do not think about it for a little while and then let it go, just like what Joseph did. But be like Pharaoh. Seek interpretation until you find it. Pray for revelation and pray through until you hear God speak to you concerning those dreams. There are times that in my walk, I have come at crossroads and I do not know which action to take. But as I continuously go over my dreams, my visions, the prophecies that have been ministered to my life, it helps me, it guides me to make the right decision. I can look at my choices and I can see if they align with the plan that God has given me, Mkatume Upenyu Wangu. And at times you can see that this is the total opposite of what God wants for me. This is not in line with what God said and concerning where he wants to take me. And once I've made a decision based on the word that God spoke to me before, I find peace. I have since realized that sometimes you can lose your notebook. But what I have learned is the moment I wake up from a dream, before I forget any little detail about that dream, I take my phone or my computer, I record every detail, and I send an email. I have one particular email where I keep all my dreams, all my sermons, all my prophecies. It's specifically dedicated to God's work and where he's taking me. And once in a while, I commit myself to reading those dreams, reading those prophecies, reading those visions. And there are times when I read them and I laugh at myself. Some of the things that the Lord has spoken to me about, they were fulfilled 4 years later. That's the God whom we serve. And when it happens, I do not now go before the Lord and start praying and asking God, why did this happen? I now know this was God's plan. From the beginning, he had chosen that this is going to be the path. So today, I want to encourage every believer who is on this prayer line to not take the approach that Jacob took. When God speaks to you, do not take the word lightly. If heathens like Pharaohs understand and acknowledge the power of God, why would a believer not do the same? Look at Jacob. He did not acknowledge the gift that was in his own child. A foreigner in another land is the one who acknowledged the gift that God had planted in his life. And he failed to do it. And today in our midst, we have parents. We have children who are used by God. But they are not listening to God's voice. And today, I'm telling you, stop mourning over situations that are not dead in your life. Stop going to God asking for comfort when you are weeping over situations that are not dead. But take action, take the appropriate action. That's why God is warning you in the first place. Know the God whom you serve. He is a God who warns us. He is a God who speaks to us. He is a God who cares for us and never leaves us. And repent of all the times that we have blamed him for things
and problems that you brought into your own life. With this word, I pray that you are blessed. Amen.